There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. It is a show that is filled with happiness. I am your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is co-host TJ Inman. And Big Ten football is back. So let us celebrate. We're going to talk all about the return to football, the process that it took, the soap opera and drama that we have went through over the past week and in the past month to get back. But first, a word from our friends over at Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year because Big Ten fans right now are not allowed at games, but you could still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures now. Head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So, the big announcement today, if you had been living under a rock for the last month, the Big Ten is restarting their football season. The season will start the weekend of October 24th. The schedule has not officially come out yet. It was announced by Barry Alvarez that the schedule should be announced sometime before week's end, but there will probably be a game on Friday, October 23rd. So the weekend of October 24th is going to be the opening weekend of Big Ten football. It's been a long and drama-filled roller coaster getting to this point, TJ. There have been reports that October 10th and October 17th, they weren't going to revote. They were going to revote. There was no vote. There was a half a vote. Some people did this. Some people did that. There's new data. They're testing. They're not testing. Everything imaginable. Finally, we had an official answer this morning as the Big Ten came out and said that they will restart the college football season for Big Ten teams. It doesn't sound like any of the teams have opted out. None of the Indiana players, according to Tom Allen today, have opted out of the season as well. So that is really good news for the Hoosiers. So how it's going to work, season will start October 24th. They will play nine games, but it'll be an 8+1. So there'll be 8 regular season games. And then at the end of 8 games, each team, how they're seeded in the conference, will match up against their mirror seed in the other division. So, for example, if Indiana finished 4th in the East and Northwestern finished 4th in the West, Indiana would play Northwestern on December 19th, which would be Big Ten championship game weekend. So it's kind of like what the Big 12 has done the last couple seasons, where they've had games on that championship game week, I believe, as well. Scratch that. But it's going to be – everybody's going to be playing on December 19th, and you'll have an extra crossover game against your mirrored opponent or your mirrored team in the West. TJ, what are your first reactions from the announcement this morning?
Yeah, well, first reaction is one of, joy. Happiness that the Big Ten is back. There was certainly a feeling of positive momentum over the past week. However, I think that we were all a little bit you know, there were so many false starts in terms of, oh, announcement coming and it's going to be this, and some information that was partially right and partially ends up being incorrect. There was so much will they, won't they, that you ended up feeling kind of, well, I'll believe it when I officially, you know, hear it from the Big Ten, or in this case, you know, see the message, the statement be released. Once that got official confirmation early this morning, I think probably, 8:30, 9 o'clock or so, once that
officially... It worked out perfectly. It was during my prep period. So thank you to the Big Ten.
Yeah, they did it just for you. Yeah. Once that got officially released, initially it was, look, I don't care about the specifics. IU's going to play football, therefore I'm happy. After that, you know, I dive into the statement itself and what the Big Ten's protocols are. I think a key for this, certainly by all accounts, was the availability for every institution of the daily rapid testing. That was a difference maker for the Big Ten presidents and chancellors, as the medical experts were able to tell them, yeah, this is accurate, this is feasible, and having this daily rapid testing allows us to be able to safely get back to playing. I think that was a key component that allowed for them to change their minds. And then a second one is that, you know, the Big Ten was very concerned about myocarditis, and they are, which I'm still a bit unclear on the specifics, and I probably wouldn't understand them anyway, but essentially forming a committee of some sort that is going to be monitoring and keeping track of any cardiac-related issues for Big Ten players that do test positive. So there's going to be extra attention paid to those players, and they will need to be cleared by a specialist to get back to playing. Something to note is it's an 8-game season without bye weeks, therefore no margin for error. I think ideally, you know, you going back to August, you would have maybe gotten earlier daily rapid testing, which we other leagues knew that it was coming as well. Delay and maybe get on the same schedule as the SEC, or maybe be just a week or two behind. So you had those bye weeks to be able to postpone games and reschedule them. Now, we don't know what's going to happen if a team exceeds that 5% positivity threshold, can't play a game for that week. Is that a forfeit? Yep. Is that a no contest? Is that we don't know. Is that just it's off the schedule for both teams and they only play 7 games then? No clue. I mean, that is something that we're going to have to wait and hear the specifics on, because based on the rest of the country, it seems highly likely that at least one Big Ten game is going to have to be canceled because of no ability to have a makeup date. So how does that affect the overall standings? We don't know that yet.
Yeah, and I think the state population and the state positivity rate also comes into factor. Now it's a little bit higher and a little bit margin for error. The population positivity rate is 0 to 3%, 3.5% in green, 3.5 to 7.5 in orange, and over 7.5% in red. So, you know, green, orange, the team could continue to practice normally and have competition. If the team positivity rate and the population positivity rate are both orange, or the team positivity rate is orange and the population positivity rate is red, the team must proceed with caution and enhance COVID-19 prevention. That means after alter practices and meeting schedule, consider viability of continuing with scheduled competition. And then red is team must stop regular practice and competition for a minimum of 7 days and reassess metrics until approved. So the general population has a responsibility here as well. They have to keep the positivity rate numbers down. I believe they can't hold a home game if, let's say, Indiana's state positivity rate is, you know, it's between 3.5% and 7.5%. It's that game could be moved to another site or things like that. So the general public has a responsibility here, and they have some, you know, they have something at stake. If you want the Big Ten football season, all these states in the Big Ten footprint have to be under that 7.5% positivity rate. And so while football is back there, if these numbers can't get under control, if there's another spike, you could see things get canceled. And more to your point on what happens if a team get canceled, can the Big Ten go and schedule somebody else who had a game canceled for whatever reason and things like that? So we'll see and how that affects the standings and playing that ninth game. But right now, it's got to be – this is probably the best day we've had for Big Ten football in a long, long time. And it's the most positive day. It's back, you know, at least for now. And we'll see when the schedule comes out. And, you know, there's a little extra juice today, I think, in everybody's step when the Big Ten announced officially that this is the plan to come back. And so let's look at it from IU's standpoint. They're playing 8 games. We don't know the schedule yet. What makes a season successful?
Yeah, given, I think, our assumption on the schedule is we know what 6 games are going to be. It's going to be the Big Ten East opposition. I think we have a pretty strong feeling that game number 7 would be Purdue. And then it would seem likely that game number 8 is Illinois or Wisconsin, one of our original crossover games back when the world was normal. Given that schedule, you know, I think if Indiana could go 500 or better, I think you would have to consider it a successful season. You know, you have to kind of pencil in losses to Penn State and Ohio State. I think that's even the most optimistic of IU fans would expect that. So that's two losses. And then I think it's fair to expect another loss or two out there, given how tough the Big Ten's going to be. I mean, Michigan is still going to be good. I would expect wins over Maryland, Rutgers, Purdue is going to be a tough game. So given that, I would say that getting to 4-4 or better would be successful. And, of course, bigger picture, I think you want to see, you know, the offense continue to look like a really good product given the talent that we have on offense for Nick Sheridan's first season as offensive coordinator. So I think you want to see that, you know, continue to look like a very good offense. I'm looking to see kind of if Michael Penix can play a full, you know, a full 8 games. Can he take that next step up from promising player into legitimate, you know, really good Big Ten quarterback? We feel pretty strongly the answer to that is yes, but, you know, you do need to see it. It's kind of a prove it, if you will, because we just haven't seen it over a long period of time with him. So I think as a team, I'd say 4-4 or better. And I think there's a number of individuals, which we'll certainly get into as we start to ramp up preview coverage, that you're looking at as – for the big picture of IU football, Can those guys take that next step? Because this year, it's such an odd year. It's hard to say what anything means in terms of wins and losses or what a program does during this year. But what we can do is, you know, continue to look at the trajectory of IU football under Tom Allen. I think you want to see that trajectory continue to go up and avoid having a year where, you know, you go 3-5 or 2-6 and have that trajectory kind of take a leveling off. You want to keep that positive momentum.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a mulligan year. I mean, if IU goes 0-8, it's not good. But if you go 3-5, and it depends who you draw on the schedule. If you're playing Ohio right. State, Michigan, Penn State, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, you know, you could easily lose 5 games. And now it depends on the crossovers. But, you know, if I'm Ohio State, I want the most difficult schedule possible. In order to get to the college football playoff. That's the reason they're starting in October, is so that they could have a team eligible for the college football playoff. Now it's 9 games, and people can argue over data points. But if Ohio State plays Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, and
Minnesota,
Iowa, Minnesota, and those 5 teams, and can get out of playing a Rutgers or Maryland, or Illinois or something like that in those 8 games, that would help their case. Now, if they go 8-0 and 2 of the wins end up being Rutgers and Maryland, and let's say you get Illinois in a crossover and Indiana. Half of your wins, people are going to go, those are teams you're supposed to beat. What did you do against, you know, the big boys? And maybe you play Wisconsin in the championship game or something like that. But for Indiana, the record almost, you want them as a fan to have a winning record, and you want them to win as many games as possible. But it's a season that, it's kind of a bonus season. This season was off the table. It was dead and buried for a while. And now it's like you're having 8 bonus games. Everybody's back. You got eligibility again for another year. So to me, a lot of it's going to be, let's see what we could develop out of these young offensive linemen, out of these young wide receivers, out of this defensive line that's very, very young. And how can you build? You want that upward trajectory. And, you know, apparently bowl games are still going to be played. And I don't know the threshold of how many wins you need to go to a bowl game. But that would be another step in the right direction. If you go 5-4 or 4-5 and go to a bowl game and end up 5-5, you just remember that, hey, that COVID season was crazy. They won 5 games and went to a bowl game. I don't think, you know, unless things get ugly, it's whatever. It's you're playing with house money right now. My biggest thing, you got the 2021 season back in full. That's the season where, you know, your expectations go from here is that 2021 season. That's the next season that counts. This season, of course it counts. Of course the wins matter and things like that. But in terms of putting people on hot seats or saying that a coach isn't working or this player is doing that, to me, anything that it's kind of like teaching, it's you're held harmless unless you go 0-8 and it's a total disaster. But even then, you have your excuse and you have your reason. It's been a crazy year. You don't have they haven't had as many practices as they usually have. You're rushing guys back now for a 4-week practice session to get ready. You know, you look at Navy, who didn't practice tackling. You know, it's you have a lot of unknowns in that, and it's you're still trying to figure stuff out on how you run practice. So guys are going to be rusty. It might be sloppy football at sometimes. You hope that you get off to a fast start, and you hope that the schedule isn't like the 10-game schedule they came out with, where you're looking at it and you're like, oh boy, they might, you know, best case scenario might have been like 2-4. And you don't want to catch that Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, you know, four pack right in a row. In Minnesota, you can make it a 5-pack and catch Minnesota there too. You'd like to play, you know, a Rutgers or Maryland or Illinois, maybe even start the season against Purdue and things like that. So we'll see when the schedule comes out. You know, expectations are different, but right now it's kind of hold harmless. It's, you know, it's not a loser mentality, but it's kind of, let's see how this plays out. And we're not going to, you know, jump off the bandwagon after the first quarter. And unless it's a total disaster of a year, let's just move on to 2021 and figure it out. It'd be great to go to a bowl game. It'll be great to say, hey, IU's been to what, 4 bowl games in 6 years now.
Yeah.
If they do that and things like that. And you'll always remember 2020 as that crazy football season that capped off with a bowl trip and things like that. And the bonus is you get everybody back. You know, unless, you know, WAP could go to the NFL and some of these, you know, a few of the upperclassmen might declare early, but they have to have great seasons. And at that point, it's like, okay, if they go 6-3, that means you're beating somebody really good and it might be worth it. So those are my expectations for the season, TJ, until the schedule comes out and then we could narrow it down a little bit. Any final thoughts on the Big Ten announcement, or let's go how they handled it? Thoughts on how they handled it?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to consider the entire situation, they handled it extremely poorly. You know, releasing a schedule for 10 games, and then a couple days later on August 11th announcing, nope, never mind, and then being very, very public in terms of, we're not going to reconsider this, and it doesn't matter what becomes available. We're not going to reconsider. It's done. We're going to try to, we'll see if we can play in the spring. Who knows? And I thought that all of that was obviously very poor from Kevin Warren's communication to the university presidents and chancellors to largely being, unavailable to answer any questions or, you know, handle any of the blowback from their decision. I thought that it was very poor. Today, I thought it was a pretty well-handled presentation. They had a release which, you know, explained, here's why we are going to play. Here's why we feel this is safe. Here's our protocols. Here's our numbers that would make it where we're not going to play a game or where a player can't play. I thought that was well done. The Zoom call or Zoom teleconference with some medical professionals that the Big Ten has, along with a couple of athletic directors. I thought that was much better than what they did the first time around, you know, and now hopefully they get a schedule out to us, later on this week that makes sense. You're not going to please everybody with the schedule. I totally get that. That is an impossible goal, but hopefully it's an 8-game schedule that provides some really intriguing matchups and is hopefully fair and balanced for everybody across the board as much as possible. So today I thought it was handled much better than it has been in the past. The whole situation, though, certainly made the Big Ten look like a bit of a joke, not a auspicious start for Kevin Warren's tenure. It was an impossible situation, but it could have been done much cleaner than it ultimately was. But I'll stop complaining because we're getting football.
Yeah, and if they had come out on August 11th with this type of press release that said the opposite, here's why we're not playing, here's what the experts are saying, and here's why we can't, here's why we can't play. We don't have the testing in place. We don't have this. We want to do that. We're going to wait and things like that. It would have gone so much smoother instead of saying, hey, we're not playing. The vote was, the vote was 11-3 and things like that. And then you had so many leaks, whether it was a hot mic at Nebraska, whether it was Sir Yacht, whether it was Dan Patrick, whether it was, you know, and it got to the point where, and I hated report, I hated not putting stuff out, and I hated putting stuff out that was just people trying to rush to be first. Yeah. And so it got to the point where it was like, I'll believe it when I see it. And I put that out this morning, and it, you know, eventually the Big Ten came out and said what they need to say. But if they did this in August, it would have gone so much cleaner than refusing to answer questions on the Big Ten Network, giving vague answers, leaking stuff to people that this is somebody said this and she said that and he said this. It just, you know, remind me of how the Knicks run things. And we all know the Knicks are not a well-run organization. And it was just like, okay, you've let this wildfire get out of control. And, you know, at the time it looked like it could have been the right decision. And who knows, it could have been. And you know, it all came down to, could a season be played? And I thought, you know, it ended up 2020, hindsight's 2020. They pulled the plug too early. They didn't give a thorough explanation. Other conferences, you know, everybody was doing their own thing. They thought that everybody was going to follow them. Only the Pac-12 followed them. The Pac-12 is still not playing. And things like that. You know, the MAC was the first to pull the plug, and they were the first to pull the plug on the NCAA tournament as well. And it was kind of like everybody panicked into a decision when maybe it was smarter to wait a few weeks and see if, okay, what do we need? Can we get these things done in a few weeks? Let's let these teams practice. You know, they built in enough time to push back, you know, to when the SEC starts. If you wanted to do that and see how the ACC and some of these group of five teams did with the Big 12, fine. But it was, you know, it was at a time where positivity rates were jumping all over Big Ten country, and they just slammed the brakes and did not give a good explanation why. If they came out and explained it like they did today, I thought it would have gone over much smoother. People still would have been angry, but it would have been a lot smoother, in my opinion, and a lot more professional. And I think the criticism of Kevin Warren is unwarranted. I think the presidents let him hang out to dry. They needed to be transparent as well, since they made the decision and not Kevin Warren. They needed to answer for their decision. And if they wanted to feed the answers to Kevin Warren and do it that way, that's fine. But to have that guy on Big Ten Network sitting there not giving answers was embarrassing for everybody involved. So, you know, cut Warren some slack, but, you know, hey, it's year one. If things get crazier than this, then I don't know what to do. So it should be all downhill from here for Kevin Warren in terms of degree of difficulty for his job. But other than that, man, we're back. We'll see when the schedule drops, and we're going to have football on that, I think, second to last weekend of October, since Halloween falls on a Saturday. So second to last weekend of October, we'll have college Big Ten football. For now, enjoy watching all the other conferences play as things ramp up. Any final thoughts, TJ?
No, right now, just I think the key is keep an eye on those positivity rates statewide, and hope that you know, things go as well as possible. I know it's difficult to get your hopes too high right now, but hope that those positivity rates are going okay statewide, because that's going to be one that we can track, you know, pretty easily, just public information. And then we'll have, obviously, we've got a ton of preview coverage to ramp up on the site. We're going to have everything you'd expect in terms of preview stuff. And our next podcast will be a schedule analysis, which we think it's for real this time. So a real schedule analysis with games that we hope will actually be played. And that is exciting.
Not unlike our real fake or fake real schedule analysis from early August. We're going to have a real
we
schedule
we
analysis.
Think.
We think maybe. Hopefully. But yes, we will have all that stuff. We will be resuming the countdown.
I believe we stopped at day 23 or day 24. We're done. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Just about right on time for us. So.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll have all that stuff up and coming back, and keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. We have plenty of stuff, more news coming out today. Tom Allen had his Zoom conference. So we have plenty of stories coming out. They're in production now with our team, TJ. Nate wrote a nice piece on the players' reaction on practice. That's up now. Andrew's going to take us through a structure of the season as Tom Allen sees it. Juliet is going to talk about how challenging it was for Allen to watch games being played last week. Evan's going to take us through his expectations, Tom Allen's expectations, and the fact that they could play for a bowl game as well. So keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And we'll get you out of here, TJ. Thanks for joining us. And we'll close out with a word from our sponsors over at Bet Us.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good
week. Bet Online. Yep, have a great week. Football is back. Finally, we're back, and you could bet on all the games at betonline.ag starting today or whenever your favorite team plays. So you might not be able to be at a game this year, but you could still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you could get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures now. Head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And also, we have a deal going with Manscaped. Manscaped is great for the personal grooming of your the man in your life, whether that's yourself, your significant other, your son, your father, uncle, cousin, nephew, whatever it is. 2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. But there is one thing you can control, and that is your personal hygiene. Our sponsors over at Manscaped are here to remind you to do so. In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that front. All right, that does it for our show tonight. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a schedule breakdown and things like that. So celebrate safely, wear a mask, keep those positivity rates down. But football's back, and it's a great day to be covering college football. So that does it for our show tonight. Thank you for TJ for jumping on with us as well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.